While voters in Wisconsin will see contestants for governor, lieutenant governor, and four state Senate seats on the ballot in Wisconsin tomorrow, the issue there is union rights, and a great deal hinges on what happens not just for unions in Wisconsin, but around the country. Already, large numbers of Wisconsin public employees have dropped their union membership, some due to layoffs, but many more just decided to stop paying dues. The president of the Wisconsin Teachers Union told the Wall Street Journal that failure tomorrow, quote, spells doom. If you work in the public sector, how could what happens tomorrow in Wisconsin affect your life? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. With Chris Marr, reporter Douglas Belkin analyzed the stakes in Wisconsin for the Wall Street Journal, and he joins us now by phone from Chicago. And Doug Belkin, nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
And this drop in public employee membership, that is due, I guess, as you cite in the article, to one change in the law that was put through in Wisconsin, that employers did no longer automatically collect union dues.
Yeah, that's a big piece of it. And, of course, the second part is that the unions have much less authority to get anything done for their members now.
You cited one example of a small but treasured perk at a college where they got to leave an hour early on Fridays in the summertime. And they cut that, and the union didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, the big issue there is that the unions now don't have any teeth. So this has been a tremendous source of concern for the folks up there.
So this is a spiral that would some of the people you talk to continue if Tom Barrett, the Democrat, loses tomorrow.
What happens in Wisconsin tomorrow is going to be looked at by Republican governors around the country, and governors who are dealing with big deficits. This is going to send a signal, and if Mr. Walker wins, then there's going to be probably more political courage from the Republican side to try to take back, claw back some of the benefits that public employee unions have enjoyed for a long time.
And on the other hand, if the Democrat wins and the governor's recalled and the Democrats take control of the state Senate as well, some of these rules could be changed.
Yeah, he's pledged that he would change them. And for public employees in Wisconsin tomorrow, their paychecks will be impacted one way or the other.
So as you look at this, the statement of doom is what they're risking. That doesn't seem too far-fetched.
No, this is likely to create a domino effect, certainly through the Midwest, but also in other states. You have Republican governors like Chris Christie, John Kasich. These guys are looking at what's happening in Wisconsin. They're seeing how much of a fight the unions were able to put up, and how effective they've been able to be in stopping what's happening in Wisconsin. If they shut down, if they recall Governor Walker, that's a big victory for the unions. If they can't, that's a big victory for the conservative wing of the Republican Party, or just the Republicans in general.
Yet in Ohio, you mentioned Governor Kasich there, his even wider-ranging proposals to curb public employee unions was defeated.
Well, the big difference between what Mr. Walker did and what Mr. Kasich did was Mr. Kasich included police and fire in when he stripped them, public employees, of collective bargaining. And by doing that, those two professions have a lot of sympathy in the public mind, and they have strong unions, and they were able to create a referendum, and they won by, I think, 61% to 39%, so it wasn't close. So Governor Kasich got his nose bloodied pretty substantially last year when he overreached.
Have the unions, the teachers and the other unions whose jobs are affected in Wisconsin, have they approached the police and fire unions to say, if we lose tomorrow, you're next?
Oh yeah, the police and fire have been on the front lines in the demonstrations there from the get-go. They realize that this isn't going to stop. One of the interesting turns is that the unions have said that if Walker is not recalled, then Wisconsin will eventually be a right-to-work state. And Governor Walker has essentially not answered that question, leading most folks there to believe that if the legislature passes that, if they pass that, then he'll sign it. And Wisconsin could indeed become a right-to-work state down the line.
As we've just seen happen elsewhere in the Midwest.
In Indiana, right.
Yeah. So the stakes of this election are very high, and indeed lots of money has poured in from outside, some for Tom Barrett and the Democrats. This is an ad. They had President Clinton, former President Clinton, up there to campaign for Tom Barrett, the mayor of Milwaukee, who's running for the Democrats in the recall election. And this is a part of an ad that was running on the Internet.
If you believe in an economy of shared prosperity when times are good and shared sacrifice when they're not, then you don't want to break the unions. You want them at the negotiating table, and you trust them to know that arithmetic rules. Show up and vote for Tom Barrett on Tuesday.
So break the unions. That's clearly what the Democrats are campaigning on.
Yes. Yes and no. The Democrats have Mr. Barrett has not run specifically on a union platform. He said this is about jobs. Governor Walker said that he was going to create 250,000 jobs when he was elected. That number's far, far lower than that. It's been disputed. It's probably around 30,000 right now. The Democrats have said that Mr. Walker has been pushing a ideological agenda against women, against the environment, and all sorts of things. So collective bargaining is actually not that high on the minds of most Wisconsin taxpayers. Only about 12% in recent polls say that that is the number one concern. Most folks are concerned about the economy and about job creation.
In the other side, the Walker campaign has been rather soft peddling this whole issue of union rights. Here's a sort of oblique reference to it in an ad run for Scott Walker.
Walker's reforms have saved over $1 billion.
Barrett wants to undo those reforms and raise taxes to pay for it.
Forward, Walker.
Backwards, Barrett.
So reforms is about as explicit as they get.
Right. He's talking about lowering property taxes and cutting away from government. That's been his message. And forward, Walker. Backward, Barrett. That's his refrain for a few weeks now.
And the most recent polls, I guess, are from a Democratic pollster showing a tightening race. But do you expect this to be close?
Listen, there were 2.1 million folks who voted in the gubernatorial election in 2010 against these two with these two men. There's supposed to be 2.8 million folks. That's what the projections are now. There's going to be a lot of people going out to vote tomorrow. The polls are Walker's ahead by a few points, but the margin of error, not much more than the margin of error. I think it's probably going to be close. This is the commercials have been about vote suppression. They've been very negative. So it's not clear, if all those people that are projected are actually going to come out. It's a bit of anybody's guess, but I think it's likely that it's going to be a pretty close race.
You say they've been about vote suppression. When you run negative ads against your opponent, it tends to suppress his vote, is what you're talking about.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Let's see if we get some callers in on the conversation, not just from Wisconsin, but from around the country, particularly those who work in the public sector. How might tomorrow's result in Wisconsin affect your life and your job? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. We'll start with Amber, and Amber's with us from Monroe in Michigan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, go ahead, please.
I am a public school teacher in Michigan, and we have a Republican legislature and a Republican governor who have been doing a lot of under-the-radar attacks, particularly on teachers, undermining our rights and our ability to negotiate and to bargain. And I very much look at the Wisconsin race as the potential for the Republicans to continue to demonize public sector employees, that somehow we're the problem, we're picking the pocket of the public, whereas in reality, police, firefighters, teachers, garbage men, we're doing jobs that the public can't do for themselves.
Well, obviously, somebody's got to teach the kids, and somebody's got to be a cop and the fireman and police and prison guards, too.
Right. Well, And the thing is, we also have to be able to pay our mortgages and feed our families. We're not earning six-figure incomes. We don't have a high-on-the-hog lifestyle. And if Governor Walker wins, then Republicans get to continue to write the public story that somehow we're treated too well and that we're the problem. And that to me begs the question. if not us, who? And what are you going to compensate people, or how are you going to take care of the people who take care of the children, who take care of the streets, who keep you safe? It's a much, I think, broader political story about what's actually happening in our country and who does things in our country.
Amber, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
And yep, Doug, thank you.
Doug Belkin, that goes to another point you made in your piece in the Wall Street Journal, that of the perception of the unions.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of folks have, you know, most folks don't have pensions now. Most folks are paying a lot of money to their own health care plans if they're employed. They look at public sector employees and think they have a better deal than I have, and there's resentment there. So this woman certainly makes a fair point. Other folks would point out, well, is a $50,000 pension fair for a teacher? Is that overpaid? Is it, you know, that's a lot of what this is about.
We're talking with Doug Belkin, a Wall Street Journal reporter. His piece in last week's Wall Street Journal called "Wisconsin Unions See Ranks Drop Ahead of Recall Votes," and he's with us on the phone from Chicago. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Jerry's on the line. Jerry's calling from Robbins, Tennessee.
Yeah, thanks, Neil.
Go ahead.
More people that work for a living are going to lose job safety and suffer abuses. If they break the unions.
And are you a member of the union?
Yes, I am. I'm a construction worker.
And how would this manifest itself, do you think?
All the job safety regulations that unions have worked so hard for over 100 years to get to protect the workers so they can come back and work the next day, that'll all go out the window. All the health care benefits, everything else is going to be going away when there's no unions there to protect people, because you can't negotiate with a millionaire or billionaire employer when you're hurting for a job and get an honest...
I hear what you say about health care and pay and benefits. In terms of the safety, isn't a lot of that by state and federal regulation?
OSHA and all the other organizations for job safety were brought about by the unions pushing for it.
So you feel that if this campaign starts to gain momentum, you're going to see pushback not just on the state level, as in Wisconsin, but on the federal level as well?
And on the individual level, yes. It's going to be they'll either put their regulators in there that don't regulate, like the guys that and the 29 miners up in West Virginia. Those mines were jury-rigged for avoiding safety. And 29 people died.
All right, Jerry. Thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Doug Belkin, is it fair to say that the pressure would increase at the federal level as well?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think that's been happening. You're talking about specifically on federal unions?
Yeah, and federal unions and also on federal regulations that protect workers in various places.
Yeah, there's been a decline there for a while, and I think it's very difficult to get folks approved to the NLRB right now, National Labor Relations Board. So I think you probably see that continue.
Let's see if we go next to this is Greg, and Greg's with us from Rochester in Minnesota.
It's actually Rochester, Michigan.
Oh, Michigan. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. I'm actually a high school Spanish teacher, and I think it's really going to have a huge effect, and I am part of the union. On healthcare, and I was actually wondering what kind of ripple effects you think this will have for other unions, because I know personally in Michigan, the UAW has a big part in union life, and I know some of their members are starting to get afraid of what Rick Snyder and also Michigan, what's going on in Wisconsin, and what effect that'll have on private unions, more or less.
Doug Belkin, what do you think?
You know, the private unions have been shrinking. They were, I think, one in more than three workers were members of a private union in the 50s. That's been shrinking. It's now like one of 12. So there's no reason to think that that's not going to continue to drop. What's at issue here is public sector unions, which has been steady at around 35% since 1979. That's really the healthiest leg of the stool for the unions in the United States. So this is specifically... attack on the public unions is an attack on the healthiest part of that body.
It's also an attack on the Democratic Party, is it not?
Indeed, it is, because the automatic dues go from paychecks of public employees into the unions, and the unions generally support Democratic candidates. So this is deeply a political battle.
Greg, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And finally, Doug Belkin, Wisconsin. It's been a swing state, roughly. In presidential elections, it's gone Democratic in recent years. As you look at the culture that has sprung up and what's happened there in the past, 15, 16 months or so, the place has changed.
Yeah, I spent a few hours in bars in Sheboygan the other day, and the bartenders all say that they make sure to keep their political tone neutral because the fights are so frequent. There are fights in family. There are friends from 50 years who have had parting of the ways. There's a million stories like that, and there's the set in people's faces around this issue is angry.
So the only thing a bartender can say these days is, how about those Packers?
How about the Packers, yeah.
Well, Doug Belkin, thanks very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Neil.
Doug Belkin, a reporter for The Wall Street Journal. He joined us by phone from Chicago. Tomorrow, guitar legend Buddy Guy will join us to talk about his memoir, When I Left Home, speaking of Chicago. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.